Each other to friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy good to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Strange Bedfellows. I'm a bedfellow named Jack.
This is your intro?
Why won't you just work with me?
You come in here cranky, all hot and bothered for some reason. You're on a plane today.
Yeah.
And you come at me with your bad attitude, your acerbic nature.
I'm trying to be a professional.
And you come up with this shit intro. I'm a bedfellow. What'd you say? I'm a bad fellow?
I said I'm a bedfellow named Jack. And then you would say, I'm a bedfellow named Tanner. I think we've...
My name is Tanner Greenring. I read romance novels for this podcast. And yeah. Guess what?
What?
I fucking love them.
Yeah, me too.
I don't give a shit. Who knows?
Yeah. And welcome to the podcast. It's a sex podcast.
It's a sex podcast. We talk about sex.
Yeah, and doing it. And doing it with sex. And that is sex.
Mostly avoid talking about sex. We will
talk about... Yeah, we'll try to avoid it.
Emotions and
Try to avoid that as well.
Scandalous plots.
Yeah.
And the monkey and falling in love.
Yeah, and the Jack. Try to avoid that stuff. Not that we're against it.
No, we just aren't good at talking about it. You know what? It's not its fault. It's not sex's fault. It's our fault because we can't treat it with the reverence it needs. We can't. Mm-hmm. We're not good enough at giving it the attention and the attitude that it requires.
Right, and we're learning.
Oh, we're learning. Sure,
from these books.
Yeah,
yeah.
How I learned all about something called cunnilingus this week.
Yeah,
which
a lot of
news
it,
to
actually.
Me.
Yeah,
you know.
Yep. Yep, so
you
there's
mean
a lot to
the
learn.
The mouth you eat with? That's what I kept yelling at the book.
Yeah, and what's troubling about that is you were listening to it out loud as an audiobook, and so everyone on the subway was like, wait, please.
Just like look at my iPad, look at everyone
please.
Else.
Please.
Like, you hear this guy?
You hearing this?
You wouldn't believe what this guy's doing with his mouth.
This week we read a novel. It was called The Rogue Not Taken, Scandal and Scoundrel, book number one by Sarah McLean, and we liked it.
I liked it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. It was a romp. It was Regency.
Mm-hmm.
Back in our bag on the Regency stuff.
Yeah.
Which so far, I've only read four romance novels now, but so far Regency's my favorite.
Everyone's so scandalous.
We read The Governess Game by Tessa Dare, which was also kind of Victorian era.
Yeah.
And now this one, The Rogue Not Taken.
It's inspired, and I read this in the author's note, by the gossip rags of the time.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that was a real thing.
Yeah. Apparently, it's a thing. And she's like, I'm obsessed with
now,
the gossip rags of now. But did you know they had them back then, too?
I wouldn't have known that. No. And what did they talk? Like, were there like Kardashians back then?
I think there were dukes and duchesses.
I met a very handsome duke this week.
Okay.
Actually, he's not a duke. He's a marquess.
A marquess. Oh, in this novel.
Yeah. You thought I meant in real life.
I did for a second. And it's good. We liked it. We liked it a lot. And it's the rogue not taken. And she does take the rogue in the book. So I wonder what the... there's a rogue and she takes him in more ways than one.
Yeah.
And
but this book is titled The Rogue Not Taken.
Yeah. So that's going to be a mystery we're going to be delving into.
So I guess it's maybe the Scottish guy?
There's a Scottish guy, yes. There's a Scottish guy, and I think the next one is called, like, A Scot to Remember or something. So...
Okay. So that one's probably about him.
To have and have Scott. It's called
something like
that.
This one was technically about him, because he was the rogue not taken.
Yeah. It could be Rogue One.
You think it's a sequel to Rogue One?
The Rogue Not Taken would be a good name for a sequel to Rogue One. Or a prequel?
I mean, Rogue One was a prequel.
Rogue One could have been called The Rogue Taken, couldn't it?
Yeah. Well, the Empire took a lot of those rogues.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. And that's a spoiler alert for Rogue One. Everyone dies.
Yeah.
But if you've seen Star Wars, you probably know, understand that that's probably the outcome.
Yeah, a lot of Bothans don't make it.
Yeah, a lot of Bothans. They skip over the Bothan part.
Yeah.
It goes right from all the crew of Rogue One to Princess Leia.
Yeah, and they don't have Bothans in this novel, just kind of trying to bring us back to the text at hand, to my knowledge, though maybe we'll find some.
God, this book would have been good with Bothans.
It would have, wouldn't it?
And I think it's Bothans.
And when do you say Bothans? Yeah.
I think that's what Princess Leia says.
Okay, yeah. I'll trust her judgment.
Yeah.
We'd like to talk about the books. We like to describe them. I think it's my turn.
I think Mon Mothma is actually the one who said it.
Mon Mothma said it. Okay, yeah.
Many Bothans died to deliver us this.
Okay, I feel like we could probably move on from that topic now. We could maybe revisit
it. May have been Akbar.
It could have been Akbar, yeah.
Yeah, let's Admiral just look Akbar. It up. God, this is going to bug me if I don't look it up. Many Bothans died.
Yeah, and I think it might have been Obi-Wan.
Mon Mothma.
Mon Mothma.
Okay. It was Mon Mothma.
Yeah, Mon Mothma said it. Yeah. Mon Mothma.
Head of the rebellion.
I'd read a romance
with Mon Mothma.
Mon Mothma.
Maybe Admiral Akbar, too.
Yeah.
He, like, lays eggs on her.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm almost finished. And then he just plops a bunch of, like, big frog eggs on her belly.
You see, we've been reading a lot of these romance novels, so we kind of naturally fall into how it would sound and what the sex parts would be like. Yeah. we'd like to describe the books, and what do we normally like to do? Oh, yes. We like to do it in the amount of time that it takes Tanner to pleasure a woman.
Here's the thing I'm going to say. Okay. Is I'm pretty sure you did the recap last week.
Are you sure?
Oh. And I'm also pretty sure you did it the week before, and I think there's a chance you may have done it every time so far.
Okay,
But I'm not going to fight you on it.
No, you do it then.
If you want to do it.
No, you do it. I'd rather you do it.
I think let's go check the tape. Yeah, it says here that I did it last week, so you do it this week.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
If I did it, then you do it. If I did it, then you do it.
I just checked the tape. No, I did it.
Okay, fine. I'll do it. I don't care. Okay. I'll do a better job than you would have.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, and you're going to give me the amount of time that it takes you to pleasure a woman, and it's 90 seconds. Right?
You got all the time in the world then, my friend.
I'm paying you a compliment.
Yeah, you've got at least 36 years.
Okay.
So far.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it, and I'll say the book.
Okay.
Then next time you do it.
Sure.
Okay. Can put 90 seconds on a big bad clock. That's what I'm asking.
In 5, 4, 3.
Sophie Talbot is one of three sisters, the youngest of three, maybe five sisters, called the dangerous something. The soiled
S's.
Yeah, and because they're beautiful and captivating, but they're like of low birth, and so it's sort of felt in society that they're all kind of trying to ensnare someone with a title. And so everyone kind of tries to stay away from them, but they're so beautiful that they've done a pretty good job. But Sophie, at a big garden party where all the aristocracy is at, and this is how the novel opens, discovers her pregnant sister's husband in flagrante with with some lady in the bushes, and he's like really rude about being discovered and doesn't seem to care, and so she
fucking
she pushes him into the pond and then calls him a whore. And as she's doing this, all of society
30 seconds left
to pass over the hill, and they see that she's done that. And then so she's cast out from society, and while she's running away, she runs into this rogue who's like coming out of the window of some lady who he's been cheating with, and then they kind of hate each other, but they love hate each other, and they like she gets shot by a highwayman, and they love hate each other throughout the whole book, and then but they do fall in love and they do have relations with each other, and I won't spoil the end, but the rogue does get taken.
Beep 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 beep.
Spent a lot of time on the beginning and not quite so much time on the main part of the book.
Quite a lot of time on the first chapter.
Yeah.
That's okay.
But I got it. She dresses as his footman. And she does. She tries to get him to take her away in his coach, right. And he's like, "No, I won't, madam." And that's the beginning of their like difficult relationship. But then later she's shot by highwaymen, and he rescues her gallantly, and they're thrown together through this rescuing. And then, you know, you can imagine the rest. There's a lot of cunnilingus.
There's a whole thing where she sort of bribes this footman into giving her his clothes.
So that
she may pose as a footman to escape the Duke. And then there's a whole thing where everyone's like, some people don't recognize that she's a lady. And then some people, like King, the hot guy.
His name is King. He's if you're familiar with the Babysitter's Club books, it's Lane Cummings' boyfriend in New York.
Right. Yeah. He does see through her disguise, but I'm looking at pictures of footmen now.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'd be able to recognize her in this outfit.
Okay. Do you want to send one to me?
Sure. It's just like the mask covers the whole thing. You know?
Oh, is it like foot soldiers from Ninja Turtles? Is that what it is?
And then like there's not a single piece of flesh peeking out behind this outfit. It's got this big purple like cowl on.
Yeah, I remember them. They have like kind of yellowish eyes. And their entire faces are covered by this sort of purple cowl.
Yeah.
Like you can see them in Ninja Turtles 1, like when they go to their skateboard underground lair, you can see them without their masks on. But normally when they're fighting.
I don't know if the live action films are canon.
Oh, okay. Are they not even supposed to be humans?
I don't know. I think when I was a kid playing with foot soldier figurines, I never thought of them as human.
Yeah.
But I think technically they were. They were just like henchmen who worked for Shredder.
But anyway, there's a foot soldier called Matthew.
Matthew.
And she sort of steals his garb, his ninja garb, and
ninja,
gets on the carriage.
Ninja, go.
Yeah, that's Vanilla Ice.
From the movie. Second movie.
And then
she steals the Duke's boot too.
Yeah, she takes his boot.
The boot.
She is seen as she is mistaken by him as being boring.
Yeah, he keeps describing her as the unfun.
He's like, "Oh, you're one of these like dangerous social climbers and you're unfun." And she really goes about proving him pretty wrong.
Yeah. Cuz she starts by getting shot.
Yeah.
On the side of a highway and almost dying.
I mean, she starts by dressing up as a foot soldier. This is one of the
sexy.
Foot Clan.
That's sexy.
Member of the Foot Clan. That's sexy as hell.
That would do it for me.
Yeah, that has done it for me. Yep.
And then she sort of eyes this handsome doctor.
There's a doctor who pulls a bullet out of her.
You know what's interesting about this book, unlike any of the other books we've read so far for this podcast, is...
Yep.
It was pretty contained. Like, it only took place over the course of, like, a week, maybe.
Yeah. They get a lot done.
Start to finish.
Yeah. In that amount of time. This doctor is interesting. He's an interesting character. He's very handsome.
Yeah.
And he smears honey on her.
Yeah. The doctor, his whole thing is honey and what was the other? Gin.
Yeah.
He pours gin on her shot. Her wound.
It seems like he's been disbarred, but it seems like whatever he does works.
Yeah, disbarred for being too clever.
Well, let me read you this passage.
It's like dang Galileo over here.
The doctor chose that moment to return with a cup in one hand and a pouch in the other. "The fact that you do not have a fever now does not mean you won't develop one," he said to Sophie, as though King were not in the room.
Yes, King.
He held up the pouch. "These herbs might keep it at bay." "Might?" King asked. "Why exactly were you tossed out of the Royal College?" "I share an unpopular belief that creatures invisible to the eye cause infection." King raised a brow and the doctor smiled. So LOL at this guy. Because he thinks that invisible creatures, what does he think? It's Smurfs?
What is it, Fraggles?
What is it, Fraggles?
You think there's Fraggles in my body?
Come on, bud. Of course you got tossed out. You think invisible creatures cause
Dr.
infection?
Yeah.
Wow, maybe it's Bothans. Bothans.
I think Bothans are not
large.
Invisible.
Okay, yeah.
I think they're humanoid. I think they sort of look like dog men.
Yeah, okay.
If I'm remembering correctly from my Star Wars comic books that I've read. Now all non-canon, they're part of the legends.
Yeah.
Great.
Sorry about that.
Thank you.
So he's interesting, and then that's something else we're looking out for. We're looking for the rogue not taken. We got to find...
I think it's probably just worth cataloging all of the most fuckable men.
In the novel.
And I think so. And the doctor is up there.
I would say maybe number one.
Yeah, I kind of got a thing for the Scott.
The Scott? Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck.
He's pretty fun.
Yeah.
He's got a pretty fun attitude about everything.
They're like the Scott and the rogue, whose name is King, have both kind of given up.
Yeah.
For various reasons. They're broken men.
They're broken men. They live dangerous lifestyles where they're doing races
they
and
do
some
carriage
kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't. They described it in the book, and I couldn't quite figure out what it was.
It's like pod racing.
Oh, now that's pod racing.
And
I think it's like one of those Roman centurion carts, you know?
Yeah,
with the two wheels on it that you hook up to a horse.
And they do that, because they don't care about their own lives, because they don't think they're worthy of love. And I think this is something we learned from the governess game. That's a thing.
Yeah,
is that the boys. As cocksure,
they need a reason to live.
As they are, deep down, don't think they're worthy of love and need to be taught that they are, in fact, worthy of love. And that's something that kind of goes on throughout the course of this particular novel.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a quick...
Girth check!
Girth check, yes.
It's our hit segment. It's called Girth Check. It's also called How Long That Dong?
Yeah, How Long That Dong?
And not to say that, you know, one way or the other is good or bad, but we do like to keep track of how long
we're
that dong.
We're just keeping a tally.
We're just keeping a tally of how long that dong. Here's all we really have to go on. So this is when King is... Are you comfortable with the title of this segment?
Which one? Either way, yes.
All we have to go on is when King and Sophie first meet, he's like climbing down the trellis of a lady who's like someone's fiance, and she thanks him, but like her fiance is like chasing him out the window.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We get the following passage. Sophie's eyes widened as one long trousered leg exited the house, a stockinged foot finding purchase on the trellis before the rest of the man appeared, clad in a linen shirt. He straddled the windowsill, and Sophie found herself gazing up at a classically formed thigh, topped by the curved strength of something else that, though equally classically impressive, she knew she should not be noticing.
Right.
So let's think about this. I do know, because I've seen a lot of like classical statues.
Yeah. A lot of the penises will snap right off of those by the time they make it in any museum.
And they're
you're missing
not,
a nose, you're missing arms, you're missing ding dong.
They're not.
Those will snap right off.
Yeah, they will snap right off. So please do be careful if you're a classical statue. Mm-hmm. They're not traditionally overly large.
Penises.
On classical statues.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, she's described this dog as equally classically impressive. So it, you know, so
well,
I think
I
we're
mean,
looking at
David is impressive.
I don't think that the thing that is impressive about Michelangelo's David is the size of his ding dong.
I didn't take art history. Line said classically impressive, right?
Right.
So I think she just means like, you know, like I think David is like 1.6 scale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he's about 1.6 times the size of a normal man.
Okay.
So even if he doesn't have the world's mightiest hog,
right?
Once you're that big,
yeah,
everything scales up with you,
right?
So if you're a giant guy with a little marble penis,
right?
That's still
big,
huge penis.
Okay, so
right?
that's what
she means. He's not Michelangelo's David,
yeah,
but he's got a penis like the size of Michelangelo's David. Which remember, Michelangelo's David is
1.6
a larger
times.
Scale than a normal person.
Okay.
Dick and all.
So what's the verdict?
On girth check?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's like 1.6 times the size of a normal penis.
We'll never know. We don't see it outside the pants.
We don't ever see it outside the pants. And you know, there is no such thing as a normal penis.
No, exactly. Thank you.
So we can't put it against any scale.
And won't.
And won't. No, no, no.
We absolutely will not put it against
anything. It's impressive,
though. Yeah, it's very impressive.
Classically.
classically impressive, and that's it. That's my thought. Is there anything else we haven't said about the novel that we should say before we really dive deeper into this text? That's everything.
See you later. No, there's plenty to talk about.
Yeah.
King. The Duke of...
I can't remember what he's Duke of. He's Duke of something. Oh, he has a bad relationship with his dad. We should say that.
That's what I was getting to.
Yeah.
King, the Duke of the Everlys, the Marquess of Everlys.
The Marquess of Everly.
Eversley.
Yeah, great.
His dad is the Duke of Eversley.
Yeah, or something else.
And he gets a message that he is dying.
Yeah.
So he's going to meet his dad to tell his dad that he shan't be marrying, and that his dad, the bloodline, the
line Eversley ends with me, he says.
Bloodline ends with him.
He's trying to piss off his dad. Because the one thing his dad wants is for the line to continue, and he's mad at his dad because of like some fairly complex stuff that happened with an old girlfriend.
He killed his girlfriend.
She did die. I'll read the passage.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's not super fun, but
passage to capture.
Yeah, I did capture it. He promised her she wouldn't die, and this time... Oh, so this is when Sophie gets shot by the highwayman. He promised her she wouldn't die, and this time it would be the truth. He would not have another girl die in the dark on his watch because he wasn't able to save her because he was too reckless with her. And I do agree that two is too many.
It's way just too many. Yeah. One feels like a stretch already.
One feels like... Yeah, it's... You're on thin ice with one.
Yep, but two is way too
two
many.
Two is just way too many.
He says that he is going to rub it in his dad's face on his deathbed. Mm-hmm. But then he meets this dang girl.
Yeah, and she's
riddled with bullets.
Yeah.
She loves sweets.
Yeah.
She stinks. Oh, she's got a stink.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of...
She has got this stink
talk.
On her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And he loves it.
He likes
dirty
it.
Dirty like that.
Yeah.
There's a whole chapter in this book where all they talk about is how much Sophie stinks.
Well, it's the Regency.
Everyone stunk.
Everyone stinks, and she's been in a carriage for like 3 days, and she got shot.
She was in a carriage, and she got shot, and then was still in the same clothes at the doctor's office, and she was mortified that they might smell her.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk.
But then they also do comment about how bad she smells.
And he really puts his foot in it. He's like, yo, you're stinky. And she's like, oh, thanks. And he's like, oh, not stinky yuck, stinky yum.
I like it.
She's
I'm
like,
dirty
okay,
like that.
Anyway, they have a fun and fascinating relationship. We like this novel. It's fun. Everyone's fun in it. She's such a barrel of laughs.
Oh, and she stinks.
And she stinks. And are we at the part? Because we try to talk about the doing it that it does happen.
Yeah. So they she has this fantasy where she is going to return to her. She gets exiled from high society in London.
Yeah,
for calling out the Duke and splashing him in the bathtub.
Yeah,
her sister's
pond
fiance.
Yeah.
And she decides to flee to the north to Cumbria or something like that.
Something,
that can't
yeah.
be it. That's There's too a... dirty.
I think it is Cumbria.
That's filthy. To go back to her old house before
they
became
bookshop.
Moneyed. And start a bookshop and marry her friend, like Billy.
Robbie,
the baker.
Yeah.
So she admits this to King in like a delirious state because she's been shot. And he is an honorable man and doesn't want to destroy any of her virtue, which is what they keep calling it.
Yeah.
Ruin her virtue.
Yeah, that's something that Sarah McLean does a lot in this novel that I found like kind of, I mean, it's fine. I liked it, I guess, but it was kind of bro-y. She calls the act of doing it ruination. Like throughout the book, he's like, oh, I'm going to ruin you.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, man, the ruination happened last night. And it's like, okay, it's like, I don't talk like that.
Ruin me, daddy. She just kept
saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
yeah, they call virginity virtue and they call sex ruination.
Ruination. You know, it's a little bit much. Here's a passage. She'd have to marry him now as she was well and truly ruined. And despite the fact that her ruination had been part of their ever-evolving agreement, there was no way on earth he was allowing her to leave him. Just say sex.
Just say sex. Yeah. I mean, unless, I don't know what's going on with his meat.
Well, we know. We do know. It's classically impressive.
It's marble.
Yeah, it's marble.
It's 1.6 size.
It's 1.6x the size of a normal.
A typical penis.
And there is no such thing as normal, but let's say a median penis.
A median penis, yeah. And it's made out of a slab of marble.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever tried to have sex with a chunk of marble.
I have not.
It does not go down smooth.
Okay.
You know, and I'll tell you what, man.
Yeah.
Those things will break off in a second.
Yeah, in a second. And please do be careful transporting statues. Everybody. So
that would ruin you. Having one that of those
would
stuff
ruin me.
You?
Yeah, I'd be so upset. Yeah. Sorry, I cut you off, but I didn't want to talk about ruination.
Yeah. No, and then I the only point was that she admits, kind of in a delirious haze, that she's going to marry this Robbie character, so King will not do anything with her.
Yeah,
he
but
just
he does.
Wants to get her home,
yeah,
so that he can go on
and he does. He takes her home, all the way to home base, doesn't he?
Dunk on his dying,
dunk
father.
On his daddy, yeah.
Which he doesn't get to do.
No, he's thwarted throughout this one.
He falls in love, and it turns out that when he gets to his daddy's house, his daddy's not even sick. It was all a ruse.
His dad is like, "We're all dying."
he's like, "You told me you were dying." He's like, "Yeah,
yeah, we're all
we
dying.
All are."
Good, strong.
His dad's healthy as a horse.
Yeah.
He just wanted to, like, I don't know, pick a fight with him or something.
But so let's talk about sex, baby.
Okay.
And let's talk about doing it.
Okay, if you insist.
It does happen in this novel, and we know that a lot of people like to listen to these books at the dinner table with their families. And so we're going to try to describe the stuff because you need to know what happened, but try to do it in a way that is PG-13 at the most, but probably just PG. And it's Two Prude Dudes, and it's a segment where we talk about the sex bit in a way that everybody can enjoy, and there's nothing wrong
with it. Make it
palatable.
Make it PG.
Yeah. So, which part do you want to talk about?
I guess one of the three times he goes down on her.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is how he prefers to have sex. We should also say he's a rogue and he's sort of a rakish cad.
Yeah.
But he actually is not a bad guy. What his whole thing is he comes and ruins a woman.
Right.
So that they can escape their loveless marriages and, like, go be with their true love.
It's actually
or
really
go
nice.
And, like, start a bookstore.
It's not ruining at
Cumbria,
all.
Cumbria, which I guess is what it's called.
Yeah. Go start
the sexiest city in North
all
England.
All the women in the Regency don't want to marry into the aristocracy. They want to marry rich merchants instead.
Yeah.
And so they all get engaged to the aristocracy because that's what's the done thing. And then they bring King in to get them in the scandal pages so they can marry the rich merchants they actually love and be rich,
right,
but not landed gentry.
Right.
Let's quickly read this passage because we're coming up on a break. I've got a pretty – it's pretty long. Here, let's just start it.
I mean
– I'm going to start reading it.
I think if you're doing it right,
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to start reading it, and then we'll kind of workshop as fast as we can ways to just make it – something that everyone can enjoy, that's all.
Yep.
I don't know, she said, the words. This is in a cab. They're in a carriage. She said, the words coming on a wave of frustration. Touch me again.
I don't think she said it so petulantly.
Okay. Touch me again. See, but that's too sexy, I think.
That's too sexy.
Should we
touch me
it?
Again.
Touch me again.
That's fine.
It? Okay. Where?
I touch friends. It's like a friendly
that's
gesture.
Okay. So where, handshake. He says. And then she says everywhere. And that's not
practical.
Practical.
I would even do that.
Yeah.
It's only one guy. He's only got two hands.
Yeah.
So does it touch you everywhere? And also, what about your privates? You want to touch you on the privates? Yeah, right.
So let's just say wherever you like. Within reason and the bounds of propriety.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. Sophie beckoned like the devil at the door to hell. That seems fine. She fought for thought. A few years ago, I saw she trailed off shocked by what she was about to tell him. That's fine. He stilled against her. He stilled, let's say, 2 feet away from her.
Yeah. Socially distant.
Yeah.
It's responsibly socially distant distance.
Yeah. Away from her. Yes. Don't stop there, darling. What did you see? I stumbled upon a stable hand and a maid. Go on.
Anime.
That, we don't need to change that. It's fine. Stable hand and a maid is fine.
Yeah.
It's kind of suggestive, but it's fine.
Yeah.
She shook her head. Where were you? Looking for a place to read. Where? It was raining and cold, and my sisters were talking about balls and gowns. We can't have that. Where they were talking about...
Absolutely. Talking about balls. Yeah, right. They were talking about...
Anime.
Yeah. And mangas.
And manga. And gossip. And the muse were warm and quiet. What did you find there? He kissed down her neck, long lingering sucks that made it difficult to think, and I'm not sure that we can have that.
Mm-mm. Kissing down the neck is bad.
Yeah.
Long lingering sucks is very bad.
Yeah.
Kissing down the neck, maybe, you know what you do is you read animes backwards.
Do you? Oh, yeah, often. Yeah,
you start at the back of the book and you work your way forward.
Flipping backwards through an anime?
I think so. And like showing her. Like,
showing her. That's great. And what about the sucks?
Sucks.
With long, interesting remarks about the quality of the drawing.
Or the translation. I think that's translation. A big thing about Western translated.
They're often pretty bad. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. I was in the hayloft, and the stable hand was there with the maid. There was something in his tone that she'd never heard in a man's voice before. Something breathless. Let's just say breathful. Like excitement? The thought made her excited as well. More excited. As though such a thing were possible. No, she confessed. They were in a stall. And you looked? His tongue swirled at the crest of her good shoulder.
I'm trying to think if that's something I would ever do to a friend.
To a friend.
which is your good shoulder? I guess not. I don't think I would. It feels too provocative. His tongue swirled on her good shoulder.
Crest is like a toothpaste. So his tongue swirled around the crest as he finished brushing his teeth.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's brushing his teeth and reading her an anime. It's intimate, but not too intimate.
I mean, that's pretty intimate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very intimate. Okay. I didn't mean to. I was only looking for a quiet place to read. I do not judge you. He licked the skin between her shoulder and dress, and she thought her breasts might break free of their bindings. Okay. That's a lot to take on.
So I guess he's still brushing his teeth. Maybe he spit.
Yeah, he spit.
In the sink.
Spit on the skin between her shoulder and her dress, and it was an accident.
It was an accident. Right.
And then...
As he's cleaning it up, I guess her binding, her bodice.
We could just say she felt like her breasts were artfully concealed within their bindings.
Tastefully.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Let's not say breasts, though.
Breasts is pretty risky. Yeah. Bazongas?
Okay, yeah. What did you see, Sophie? His hand was moving now over her... I'm not going to say thigh.
Rifle.
Yep. The sound of it on the fabric of her skirts was unsettling. That seems fine.
Yeah.
I couldn't see much at first. I was looking down over the edge of the hayloft. I saw the tops of their heads. They were kissing.
They were kissing was the line? That's...
Could they be watching? What's the big manga that everyone says you should watch?
Oh, My Hero Academy.
They were watching My Hero Academy.
Or something like that.
Does that sound... Is that what it's called?
Sure. Yeah.
Isn't there one about boat girls?
Oh, yeah. Kankule.
Yeah. They're watching the boat girls. The one that's... These girls are boats.
They're girls and they're boats at the same time.
Perfect. Okay.
Kankule.
His lips settled on hers, immediately lifting, leaving her quite desperate. His lips...
Are we talking about King or the ranch boy now?
It's King now.
His lips settled on hers. His lips settled on hers... His lips settled on her toothbrush.
Okay, now he's brushing his teeth with her toothbrush because he really wants to be as brushed as you can get.
Yeah,
she's got one of those like Sonicare like like vibrating.
It's one of the
brushes.
Most intimate things you can do with another human being.
Yeah, it's actually really lovely.
Yeah. The other day I went to the grocery store and I wore Jamie's mask in.
Wow.
And that was a trip.
There you go.
And that felt intimate.
Like that, he said. She shook her head in the darkness. No. And I would too if someone was using my toothbrush.
No, thank you.
How then? You know how. I wasn't there, he said, and the teasing in his tone made her even more aware of him. Show me. Okay, we can't read this whole passage, but we're going to soldier on through this paragraph. God knew how she had the courage to do as she was told, but she did, running her hand up his arm, over his shoulder. I'm going to allow it to the back of his neck. I'm going to allow it, pulling him to her. I will not allow.
No, that's I think what that's the beginning of a sleeper hold.
Oh, because she's getting the toothbrush back.
Yeah, Sarah McLean's just describing a sleeper hold.
Okay, like this. And then she kissed him, and we'll just say put him in a sleeper hold, letting her tongue slide over his lips and into his mouth, letting her arm
slide over,
constrict
his
around his neck.
Larynx.
Yeah, where he tasted like wine, hoping that she was doing it right. And I would, you know, you got to get it right because...
it can be dangerous.
It can be really dangerous. He groaned and gathered her closer. That seems like something you would naturally do if someone put you in a sleeper hold. Careful of her shoulder, turning her so that her thighs draped over his lap. And I'm not sure that we can have that, especially because his hand then finds the hem of her skirts and slides to her ankle. The touch is warm and wonderful.
Thighs.
Turning himself so that her toothbrush fell onto her lap.
That seems fine. That was the objective. That's why she put him in the sleeper hold to begin with.
She was doing it right. After a moment, he broke the kiss. Is that all you... He broke the sleeper hold. Is that all you saw? No, it became more. She trailed off, hoping he would fill in the descriptor so she did not have to. He did not. Erotic. And absolutely. What happened between the stable hand and the maid, she is saying, became more erotic.
Oh, okay. Erotic is not the right word there.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who's reading anime.
He was reading anime to her before he started brushing his teeth. But the stable hand and the maid are watching.
And he was like, tell me about the time you saw someone reading anime.
You saw someone watching anime. And she interrupted a stable hand and a maid watching Kankole, which is like a...
Well, I think the thing about Kankole is the boat girls are supposed to be very cute. So I think maybe instead of erotic, we say kawaii.
Kawaii. Yeah, that's great. The sound he made was best described as a growl. I'll allow it.
That's King. He's still in the headlock.
Yeah, this is King now. Yeah. There are a few things I like more than the word on your lips. Kawaii?
I'd be confused too.
He kissed her quickly, his tongue stroking deep before releasing her and leaving her breathless. And absolutely none of that is going to be allowed.
We'll just cut that part.
We'll just cut it. Yeah, I think so. What was so kawaii, Sophie? She was lost in the memory again in the hope that she might relive it now, here with him. He opened her dress.
Nope.
He opened the anime again?
No. I think at this point they're sort of grappling. They're wrestling. What's a wrestling move?
Like he fireman's carry?
Her butt or whatever. You're the wrestler.
I said fireman's carry. He
I
put
know,
her
but
in
that doesn't
fireman's
fit
carry.
The syntax. He blanked her blank.
Oh, okay. You would say he shot on her right leg.
It's even worse.
That's because a shot is when you like go in.
Okay,
for a grapple.
Let's couch it. Let's put a lot of disclaimers on.
So let's say
that's fine.
He shot on her right leg,
and
which is a common wrestling move, which means when you like move in for a leg grapple.
Okay.
Yeah.
That seems fine.
Christ, King said. I was hoping he would do that. He's talking about the anime maid.
Right. Yeah.
We can't do much more of this.
Too horny?
Well, we've just been doing it for too long.
Yeah. I think probably what they do is
we
King
can imagine what happens
to,
next. Yeah.
King manages to pin her.
Yeah.
Because she's not a trained wrestler.
No.
And he is.
And gets a toothbrush back from her.
Yeah. That was lots of prudes.
It was a lot. It was a lot of prudes. Yeah, and folks, read that aloud to your family at dinner.
Yeah, read that aloud to your family at dinner. It's just a story about a maid reading anime in a barn with a stable boy.
Yeah,
and two people recounting the story while trying to brush their teeth and kind of doing wrestling.
Yes.
But not like suggestive wrestling, like no. genuine, like
real Greco-Roman. Yeah, yeah, Greco-Roman. Or if, actually, no, not if you're shooting on the leg, because Greco-Roman is arms only. So it would be like folk style or freestyle.
Okay, freestyle wrestling.
Yeah. let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk some more about this scintillating novel.
Okay.
Okay. And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp.
Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors, who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Tanner, I'd like to introduce a new segment.
Okay.
Tentatively, working title is Jack and Miri Make a Romance.
Jack and...
Miri.
Miri?
Yeah, there's a famous movie called Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
Miri? And also, I don't think that movie's famous.
But you have heard of it, and it is Miri.
How about Jack and Tanner...
But Jack rhymes with Zach, and Tanner doesn't rhyme with Miri, so I'm not sure people will get the reference.
I'm just going to get left out then.
But you would just be Miri.
I don't want to be Miri. I remember that movie. It stunk.
Did it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll call it something else. We don't have to call it that.
Okay. Jack and Tanner make a romance.
But listen,
that makes it sound like we're making romance together.
Look, we'll call it something else. We'll call, you know what we'll call it? Once we've settled on a title for our romance, we'll call it that.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've got a working title.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to hear the working title?
Yep.
Can I throw this at you?
Yep.
Okay. Please don't shoot this down, because I'm kind of in love with this title for our romance, even though I don't know what it's going to be about yet.
Okay. Maybe the title can inform the plot a little bit.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Love in the Time of Horses.
Okay. sounds pretty serious, because I think what it is a riff off of Love in the Time of Cholera, which I think is a very serious film about lots of people dying of cholera.
Yeah, but then imagine it's horses instead, and it gets pretty romantic, doesn't it?
How many horses?
Lots of. It's the time of horses.
So, like, horses are taking over?
Yeah. We can explore that.
Okay. Maybe there's... Do you see that movie Enemy at the Gates?
I've seen the movie Enemy of the State.
That's what I mean. You remember the scene where Rachel Weisz and Jude Law have sex in a very crowded barracks?
No, I didn't see
I think that's what kind of what we're dealing with in
Love and the Time of Horses.
Time of Horses. Like, okay. The horses are everywhere.
Everywhere. Mean. Okay, well, so that's a working title. We don't have to stick with it. But here's my thought.
Yeah.
This is what I'm thinking. You and I have now read four of these dang things.
Yeah.
Romance novels.
Kind of experts at this point.
These writers are making millions of dollars from writing their damn books.
Are they? You know, Jamie is actually personal friends with Sarah McLean, the author of the book we read this week.
Yeah.
I can probably find out whether or not that's true.
I bet it is. It must be. I bought it. You bought it. Cost me $10 fucking dollars. It's like three times the cost of a Babysitter's Club book.
That's true. And Anne's making millions.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So it's, they're making millions, and yet you and I are doing the same amount of fucking work reading every damn word.
Oh, right. And then discussing. I don't know how long it takes to write a romance book, but we record about it for like hour
over
and a half.
Over an hour.
Yeah.
And we're making nothing.
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 We every week we do that.
Yeah, every fucking week.
They're not writing
week.
A book every week.
They're certainly not writing a book every week. One every couple of years if we're lucky.
Maybe. So what are you saying? You think we got what it takes?
So what I'm saying is that we take the expertise that we are gaining from reading these books and put it into our own romance novel. And this week we'll take what we learned from, what's this book called? The Rogue Not Taken. And use that to develop the first part of our novel, Love and the Time of Horses.
Time of Horses. Okay. Yeah. Perfect.
So
what are some of the lessons we can pull out of this text this week?
I got a couple.
Yeah.
We got to have a guy, right? I mean,
not always.
Not always.
I think some of them have just women or non-binary people too.
Okay. We got to have love interest number one.
Okay.
And he or she has got to have something in his or her past.
And his or her pants.
And in his or her pants.
Yeah, okay. I think and this is not the main character, right? This is the love interest.
Yeah, it's not the main character. It's the love interest.
I think let's go with a guy. I don't think we need to rock the boat, you know? Mm-hmm.
We can end up having some trysts and three ways and stuff. But let's start simple here.
Straight man.
Okay, straight man.
Yeah.
And he's got to have a name. This guy's the guy in this book, his name is Kingscott. In fact, his name is Aloysius Kingscott. Archibald Barnaby Kingscott, Marquess of Eversley, future Duke of Lyne. That's too many
names.
That's
a hefty name.
Yeah.
I think let's keep it simple. Let's keep it provocative.
Yeah.
I think like Swolewood or something like
Swolewood
that.
Swolewood
right?
is good. Like, Swolewood is good. Prince Swolewood.
Prince is lofty.
Too lofty?
Baron.
Baron Swolewood?
Baron Swolewood.
Okay.
So I guess we're going Regency, huh?
I think so, because we're starting with what we've learned from this novel.
It's the time of horses.
And it is the time of horses.
Right.
Okay, so Baron Swolewood, we'll learn we don't know his first name yet. That'll come out in an intimate moment.
Yeah.
Ralph, though. It's Ralph.
Well, and this universe shares a magic system with Name of the Wind. So once you know someone's true name, you have command over them.
You have command over them. And he's a rogue.
He's a rogue. Right.
So he's like, he has like high.
I guess like an assassin rogue?
Yeah. He's like very sneaky. He has or like limited magic.
Some magic, but mostly he's relying on big hits.
Yeah.
Coming out of stealth.
Yeah.
Not the kind of glass cannon. You don't want to keep him in the front lines.
Yeah, I'm a rogue in my current D&D campaign.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of damage, but usually from the shadows.
Yep, exactly. So Baron Swolewood is a rogue.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense to me.
And he's got to have something in his past. In this book, King has an aversion to carriages because he killed a girl.
In a carriage.
in a carriage. It wasn't really his fault, but it kind of also was.
Yeah. I think Swole would have an aversion to
horses.
Horses. And gosh, what a bad time to be alive.
Yeah, the worst possible time for this guy.
Yeah.
He's deathly afraid of horses.
Do we know why, or is that something? Is that something we want to explore now, or is that something we want to uncover later?
I think we'll uncover it later. Okay. We know that he is he's got an aversion. He's got a terrible aversion to horses.
He tenses up around horses in a way.
Yeah. Horses are not for him.
Maybe we'll discover why someday.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we need his lady love. Or man love.
Right, the main character, the antagonist of the book.
Yeah, antagonist / protagonist. Antagonist of Swalwood, protagonist of the novel.
Yes, exactly.
So this lady's name is...
They start as enemies.
Sophie.
Sophie's the one in this book.
Yeah.
Sophie...
Talbot. It's Greek in origin, means wisdom.
His name is Swalwood. I guess we're casting a typical female character here. Straight female?
I think for this, and I want to leave a caveat that when we read novels where the relationship is not a heterosexual relationship, we'll bring those elements into it. But now we're taking from this book.
So I think, you know, his name implies something about who he is as a person. He's got a swole pecker.
Yeah.
I guess we would probably want to give her a name that also implies some of her physical attributes, maybe something about her vagina.
Mm-hmm.
Could be something like
Great Cleft. Mm. Great Cleft is not bad.
Great Cleft. Lady Great Cleft.
Lady Great Cleft. Let's just give her a girl's first name.
Okay.
Elaine.
Elaine Great Cleft. That sounds good.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah. Elaine feels a little old-fashioned.
Well, it's the time of horses.
No, it feels a little old-fashioned for our timeline, a little futuristic for
the time of horses. Okay.
Something Tabitha. Simpler.
Simpler.
Tabitha. What, like Pud?
What?
Pud.
Pud. Okay, what's Pud?
Just a simple name.
Pud.
Pud.
Is it short for something? Patricia.
I don't think so. Yeah, it's short for Patricia.
Okay,
all
but everyone calls her
call
Pud.
Her Pud.
Yeah. Pud Great Cleft.
Because she's sort of the runt of the group, right?
Yeah.
In every group, in her friend group, and her among her siblings.
Yeah.
She's kind of the runt, so everyone calls her Pud.
And she, I guess, should we have her disgrace herself, or is that heaving too close to what Sarah, is it McLean or McLean?
McLean, I think.
Sounds like she's your best fucking friend, so I feel like you should know.
I've never met her. Maybe she should be on the run from horse law.
From horse law. Okay.
What would she have done to cross the horses?
What can't you do? What shouldn't you do to horses?
That's a good question. I think they're pretty tolerant.
Maybe you're not allowed to ride them in this world.
Okay, but why would she do it then?
Because she's passion. Passion.
Yeah. Okay, she rode a horse.
Out of passion. She broke horse law. Yes. Okay.
And now she's on the run from horses.
Oh, from horses or from...
They run quick. You know? Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Does that feel like enough to be going on with?
Just sort of, that's sort of the setting and some of the characters. We haven't gotten into actually any storytelling yet, but I think that's the part of world building, though, is like...
Yeah.
Brandon Sanderson doesn't sit down and figure out the Cosmere.
No, you're right.
In one day, or let alone as he's writing. So I think we're going to need to do a little bit of groundwork first.
Okay.
To establish some of this stuff. So far we have Lady Great Cleft.
Mm-hmm. Pud.
Pud Great Cleft.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the youngest daughter
mm-hmm.
of a family of aristocrats. Aristocats. And in a fit of passion, she rode a horse.
Which is
not
against the law.
Sexually.
No.
But like.
Just. But very passionately.
But passionately. And the horse didn't like it, called the cops on her, broke horse law. Now she's on the run.
Yes.
Will she run into the great Baron Swole would.
Almost certainly, right?
And on his country estate, far away from the prying eyes of the horses.
Yes. Right? And the answer
maybe.
Is yes, I think.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
We'll
get there.
Find out next week.
We'll get there. Yeah. Good segment.
Good.
That one's a good one.
Yeah.
Anything else we need to say about this book? Because we did just talk about our, and you know, I don't want to take time away from Sarah or this book.
Yeah.
We just talked about our book for 20 minutes, but.
I mean, our book is drawing from this book, right? It has its DNA in this book. And tell Sarah that we're gonna move away from it. But we just
the other thing about Pud
is inspiration. Yeah.
The stink.
Oh, she stinks. Okay. Yeah.
God, she stinks. And that and that's drawing direct inspiration from this one.
But stinky yum, not stinky yuck.
Yeah. Stinky yum, not stinky yuck, exactly.
As they say. Should we do a
Bird of the Week?
And it's where we say birds of the week. And there's birds in this book. Did you capture one?
Yes.
Great.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, sure do.
She planned to be happy. Yes. To marry, to have a family, to live a quiet, peaceful life. But she'd never planned to want someone so much that his refusal actually pained her. She never planned for a single, inaccessible path to be the only one she could ever imagine having. She'd never planned to love. Vaguely, it occurred to her that other people found love to be a pleasurable experience filled with roses and doves and sweets and whatever else. Those people were obviously cabbage heads, because she loved the Marquess of Everly quite desperately, and there wasn't anything remotely pleasurable about it.
Cabbage heads.
Yeah, burns on all the cabbage heads.
That's funny.
Yeah. I love my wife, and I guess that makes me a cabbage head.
Yeah.
So be it. You know?
So be it. You'll
you know
take
what stinks?
It. What, cabbage?
Cabbage.
Does it?
That has a smell to it.
Yeah, it'll get rancid if you leave it. Too long.
Kind of
pot calling the kettle black.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was gonna say throwing stone at glass houses, because
yeah,
take a sniff of yourself there.
Yeah, do take a sniff of yourself. Sophie. And it is the Regency, so we have to give them a little bit of
I mean, she notably stinks.
Slacker. She does notably stink. Yeah, everyone's talking about it. Yeah. Here's my burn. We've already kind of talked about it sideways a little bit here. Oh, so she makes a joke. I have to set this up. She makes a joke that I don't understand.
Okay, maybe I can help.
They're talking about the gossip rags.
Yep.
We are together in a secluded area, my lady. If you intend for it to end in the same manner your sister's assignation with her former lover and now husband famously ended, it's quite nefarious. Of all the infuriating things the man could say, she stamped her foot on the thick spread of ground cover. I am really quite tired of hearing about poor maligned Haven and how my sister trapped him into marriage. He didn't sign up for marrying your sister. Eversley said. Then he should not have been fiddling about with her ink, she pronounced.
That's it?
Yeah, that's the joke I don't understand.
Shouldn't have been fiddling around with her ink.
Is she an octopus?
Missing context.
Maybe she's an octopus.
She's an octopus.
Yes, and they don't say it.
Right.
And these girls are octopuses.
That's probably why the Duke of
Octopodes.
What's his name? Her husband, the one who she catches cheating at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's probably why he's cheating.
Yeah, because she's an octopus.
So he had to go find love in a human body. She loves her, sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, she just, every time they try to make love, she just lays eggs on his belly.
Yeah, and we've already read that one. It's the Admiral Akbar, Mon Mothma.
Yeah. And he's like, I get no pleasure out of this. It's just messy.
Love in the you time know? Of calamari?
That's good.
It's good. All right.
Fuck,
but
what a swing and a miss. We did this whole horses thing. We already had a good sound concept.
We'll do that later. We'll have time for a few of these, I hope. We're just going to make millions, because these are all of these books. This is like book one of scandal and scandalousness and
scoundrels.
Scoundrels.
Yeah, I think we could stand to make millions.
Yeah. I've got to finish this burn.
Oh, you're not done with your burn.
Yeah.
I thought it was the ink thing.
I needed to tell you the ink thing so that I could... This burn would make any sense.
Okay.
Now I will read you the burn.
Yeah.
He pressed a hand to his chest. I apologize. The snicker became a laugh again. Fiddling about with her ink? She scowled. It was your figure of speech, but you made it really tremendously perfect, I assure you. If you understood the double on... If you understood the... Do you say double entendre? If you understood the double entendre inherent in the metaphor, you would as well.
Double? It's a word. It's a word that's a common word in English.
But in French, it would be double.
It's a double entendre.
Okay, fine. If you understood the double entendre inherent in the metaphor, you would as well. I doubt that. Oh, for your sake, I hope I'm right. I'd hate to think you're no fun. I'm perfectly fun, she said. Really? You're Sophie, the youngest of the Talbot girls, aren't you? I am. The unfun one?
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
Classic.
He keeps describing her as unfun the whole time. He kind of negs her.
There's a lot of nagging.
It's classic Pua stuff.
Yeah, it's not cool.
He calls her chubby and he says she stinks and calls her unfun a lot, and then does close up magic in front of her.
Yeah.
Which I think is part of being a Pua. And he wears these leather pants that are so tight that you can just totally make out his marble dong.
Him.
And that really gets her going. That really
Her going. They have a lot of back and forth. We won't spoil the whole novel, but they end up at his house and his dad is mad and there's a big fracas about it all. And will they or won't they?
Yeah, they do. It's a romance novel.
Yeah,
it's
they do. And
they
do.
They will and they do.
And I think that's all the time we have for today.
Okay.
We're going to go and we're going to leave and we'd like to leave and also to go. We would like to thank you. We being the royal, we would like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me today, with us today.
And we would like to thank you, the royal you.
Yeah.
Which I guess is what we're calling our listeners.
Yeah. For bearing with us. We would like to remind you, please, to subscribe to our Patreon for the love of God. Patreon.com/BSCC podcast, and it's just $5 a month and you get an episode every week and it's good and fun, and please join us there, and it's the only way we
sing the descriptions.
What I would like to say also is that please join our Facebook group. It's called Baby Nation. Everyone in there is good and nice and also very nice and very, very good, and please go there. Everyone's good in there, and that's where everyone is. Rate and review our show, especially now. We're trying to do a new thing here. Take a minute, please, and go to Apple Podcasts and rate and review the show. And when you're done that, recommend it to a friend who might like it. That really helps us to spread our wings and find a new audience, which is something we would like to do, is find more people to listen to our show.
And the royal you, I want to apologize for Jack's attitude tonight. He was on a plane today. He's just cranky, you know.
I've been fine.
Yeah, I want to apologize for his behavior. Okay. Hopefully he'll be in a little bit of a better mood next week.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Buy our merch, bit.ly/BSCC merch. All that remains is for me to say that this week we did read a novel. The novel was called The Rogue Not Taken by Sarah McLean. Or McLean, we don't know, even though Tanner's literally best friends with her. Scandal and Scoundrel, Book 1. Next week, we're going to be reading a little book called A Princess in Theory, Reluctant Royals, Book 1 by Alyssa Cole. Read along with us, folks. Read along. It's fun. These are fun.
These books are pretty easy to get through, and they're tons of fun. You're not going to want to set them down. So
yeah.
Read along with us next week.
Finally, this week, I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
I am Tanner Greenring.
I hope that you find your happily ever after.
The intro is bad. The outro is bad, man. What's going on with you?
We don't have it yet. So I'm trying to do something to make something happen.
Yeah.
And I hope, and the rogue not taken for you, and
Jesus, Jack.
And what Jesus. I would like for you this week. If you, whatever rogue you take, you're just doing nothing to help me with this.
Bye.
And I'm clearly floundering.
Bye.
We might be childhood friends and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kid to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
numbers are going up. Let's count. One.
You're going to improve the mood a little bit?
Yes. My mood is good.
Three.
No, I would start again. One. Now I'm in a bad mood because you threatened me.
Be very